I'm John Batsu with my colleague Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a senior fellow. He keeps the Long War Journal, where you can watch developments and dots that connect from Afghanistan all the way to the Mediterranean, the Hindu Kush to the North Africa. Right now, we're looking at Syria, a failed state, darkness visible. The headlines in these last days, hours, U.S. Embassy in Syria tells Americans to leave, warns of potential imminent attacks. And then we have some discordant headlines that look more promising. Washington Post, in these last hours, Syria announces a new transitional government. And then we have a headline that's puzzling. The very strong president in Turkey, Erdogan, is said to be conveying, selling, transferring weapon systems into Shara's hands. He is the self-named president of Syria, having now named a cabinet that is said to be diverse. Still, no votes have been cast, and if I understand the terms of the government, they won't be cast for many years. Bill, the information I have about Syria is that the Israelis occupy the southern portion up to the Golan Heights. The Turkey forces are all along the northern frontier, especially involved in Idlib province where Al-Qaeda lives. The Russians have a naval base and the possibility of an air base in the western part of the state, and the American presence is somewhere in the eastern part of the state helping our allies, the Kurds. Now the U.S. Embassy is telling Americans to leave. Does that connect to all the rest of this? Does that connect to the new transitional government? How do we read this?
Syria is, you described it well, as is an absolute basket case. There, you know, to say there's a Syrian government, it's more, you know, the Taliban used to make fun of the Afghan government and call the president the mayor of Kabul. That's much like Ahmad al-Ashari or Abu Muhammad al-Jilani, the head of Hayatir al-Sham, who's the nominal president of Syria. He controls Damascus and Idlib and some surrounding areas, but he does not fully control the country. And because of this, there is continuing violence, ethnic violence and sectarian violence that's occurring throughout Syria. It's for these reasons that the U.S. Embassy warned Americans to leave Syria. Why Americans would go to Syria, you know, John, the idea that the Syrian civil war ended with the fall of Bashar al-Assad, the longtime president of Syria, was just absolutely crazy. The reality was is that the Syrian civil war entered a new phase. You know, up north, you have this Syrian National Army, which is backed by Turkey. It allies with Hayatir al-Sham, who, you know, whose head is the nominal president of Syria. You have the Kurds who've up in the northeastern and eastern Syria. They say they want to work with the government, but no one believes that's happening. Those Kurds are fighting with the Syrian National Army. Then you have, you know, the remnants of the Assad backers, the Alawites, are battling with the so-called Syrian government. And then you have U.S.-backed forces, not just the Kurds, but there's a small group of tribesmen in eastern Syria that are backed by the U.S. that are, you know, that have issues with Hayatir al-Sham. So in this environment, I can't believe that the embassy ever recommended that Americans should travel to Syria in the first place.
And Bill, the arming of the so-called Syrian government, these are Al-Qaeda veterans. Are they now Al-Qaeda loyalists? How do we read them?
Yes, so Hayatir al-Sham, which used to be something called known as Jabhat al-Nusra, the Nusra Front, it had a, I think this is overblown by a lot of people, a falling out with Al-Qaeda. The reality is they share the same ideology and they share the same goals. But Al-Qaeda actually let Hayatir al-Sham break away, so to speak, or distance itself in order to get to garner a degree of legitimacy. So what you had was a lot of Westerners and analysts go and say, see, they're not Al-Qaeda anymore. Now we can trust them. Now they're people we can work with. They're in a local ally. So they hide their ties. There's ties between leaders and groups with Al-Qaeda. For instance, a group known as the Turkestan Islamic Party. Its leader is based in Afghanistan. Its leader directs the Turkestan Islamic Party, which is fighting in Syria. It provides aid and funding. The Turkestan Islamic Party, its leader is also a member of Al-Qaeda's Shura. So what does that make the Turkestan Islamic Party, which fights under the banner of Hayat Tahrir al-Sham? I know that this gets very confusing when you start throwing all these names out there, but the reality is what you have is a lot of cutouts operating. So it's hard for the average person to make direct links. These are indirect links, but we watch how Al-Qaeda has operated over the years, and it's willing to let its local branches or local allies do what they need in order to either get legitimacy, international or local legitimacy, and to basically fool the West into supporting them. And that's what we're seeing in Syria.
Bill Rajo, a senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. I'm looking at a photograph of al-Shara, formerly his nom de guerre, al-Jalani. He's sitting in an Italian suit earlier in the month, wearing a Rolex and long-sleeve white shirt, looking like a fine, upstanding lawyer in one of the capitals of the Ummah. Instead, he's an al-Qaeda veteran with absolute control over Damascus. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Nash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Going north,